Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Morning. You all right? I hope you are. I genuinely hope you are. Keeping safe. Are you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, rocking and rain for the day ahead? It's Friday. Yay, it's Friday. Looking forward to the weekend. Weekend ahead. I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, I'm all good.
Great, great. Have we got a poll? Have we done a poll? Are we doing the poll? Harry? Oh, okay, yeah, you can do it. Okay, great. Okay, we've got a poll. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers. There is a poll for you to click on there. A little bit of interaction going on. Should we just jump straight into it? Should we just get into what the corporate mainstream media, the legacy, dying mainstream media, the cabal of liars, what they are trying to pump into your brain box this morning? Should we have a look? What's going on? What's going down? What's going down in Chinatown on the front pages? Let's have a look. Okay, PM vows to shield Brits. Harry, you need to move my head over so I'm not... Okay, anyway, I'll let Harry get on with that. PM vows to shield Brits and panic in Dubai. That's odd. Andrew Tate said there's nothing going on in Dubai. Said you don't understand reality properly if you think there is. Okay. That'll learn you. That'll teach you to trust more or less anything Andrew Tate says. Okay. The Metro. Ugh. Ugh. The Metro. Why did I keep putting the Metro first? Give me some time to wake up and get used to things before you hit my eyeballs with the Metro. Ugh. The bloody Metro, this country. All right. More RAF jets in, more Mersey flights out. Obviously, the angle is entirely British, obviously. All right. PM vows to shield Brits. What, with one frigate and four fast jets? Well, there's more than that, isn't it? There's more than that. Part of the story is they're going to send four more fast jets to Qatar. Won't make much difference, will it? Let's be honest. Okay. Stranded UK citizens reach home. Some do. A very small number, actually. We believed reports earlier in the week that there's something between 90 and over 100,000 to get back. Like one, two, half a dozen planes, whatever it was. Still loads there. Okay, but some stranded UK citizens reach home. But first government rescue op branded a shambles. Bit ungrateful. You're lucky to get out at all. Okay, that's the Metro. The Telegraph, the Torygraph. There we go. Starmer, US must negotiate with Iran. I mean, who do you think you're talking to? It's a queer. And what about those Ukrainian rent boys that burnt down your car? Don't you want to talk about that, no? All right, anyway. Starmer, US must negotiate with Iran. I don't have to do anything you say. I always think it's weird when someone tries to tell other people what to do when they're not in a position to do that. You know, like someone on Twitter tries to tone police Elon or something. It's like, you don't get to tell him what to do. Some little 4'10", 90-pound woman tries to tell Anthony Joshua not to do something. It's like, no, you don't get to tell him what to do. You can't. You can't, you're not in a position to do that. You know, you get it. Starmer, US must negotiate with Iran. You can just imagine what Hegseth and Trump, their reaction to that is like barely even a scoff of derision. Barely even that. Just like, okay. Okay. PM calls for de-escalation talks with regime despite it bombing allies in the Middle East. If they're going to do it, I feel like at this point now, this is my feeling now, If Israel and the United States are going to do it, change the regime, they may as well do it now. They've been wanting to do it for the best part of 50 years, right? 47 years. It's Bibi's dream. It is in the interests of the region, isn't it? And the people of Iran, isn't it? If they're gonna, and they've come this far, they've gone this far with it now. It's the closest that regime has ever come to being toppled by quite some way. They're at a super, super low ebb, aren't they? Oh, but the Prime Minister wants a negotiated peace, does he? Okay. The Prime Minister will speak in Westminster Hall to crowds of Muslims and have the call to prayer played in Westminster Hall. I think Keir Starmer really got his finger on the pulse, sort of globally, with respect to Islam and the Iranian regime. Like, Starmer knows best, does he? In the grandest sense, Starmer knows best. I don't think he does. I think he's bought and paid for by someone somewhere along the line. I don't think he's got the Western Hemisphere's, Britain or the United States' best interest at heart at all. Okay, Labour MP quits over husband's spy arrest. So that was the story we brought you yesterday. This is in the news a bit today. One of the few non-Iran things. Was it Joni Reid MP? Some Labour Scottish MP, and her husband was arrested for espionage, working on behalf of the Chinese intelligence service. She just suspended herself. Says quits there. Was she suspended? She suspended herself, which is reasonable, fair enough. It's the sort of thing you should do, whether innocent or guilty of any wrongdoing herself, one way or another. It's just the right thing to do, isn't it? Really, you're compromised at least until there's some investigations. Police or parliamentary, some investigations to clear you of any real wrongdoing. Sort of the best thing to do, isn't it? So good. She's not just clinging on, just insisting, I didn't know anything, I didn't do anything wrong, I'm not going to step down, that sort of thing. Which some MPs do. Some MPs do that, don't they? Even if they're actually being charged and going to trial with very serious crimes. Even if they've been convicted of relatively minor crimes. Something like, even if you're convicted of a crime, I think, these are roughly rules. If this isn't exactly the case, it's very close to this. You can be an MP and you can be convicted of a crime, and as long as the sentence isn't more than 2 years or 1 year or something, you don't have to step down. Your party will almost certainly disown you, but you don't have to step down. So you could do something minor where you did something illegal, but you were given a suspended sentence or you're just given a fine. Now, if you had any sort of sense of propriety, you would just step down, wouldn't you? But some don't. Some don't. And there's examples of that in recent times. All right. But this woman has at least suspended herself. Joni Reid. Okay. What else have we got? Oh, Lewis Hamilton said something about Africa. Shut up, Lewis. Lewis Hamilton's politics are mental. He's British, Formula One driver, if you don't know. Seven-time world champion. Arguably one of the very best, statistically, one of the very, very best ever to drive a race car. And he is good, obviously. He's lost it a bit. But he was great, sort of is still, but he was very, very good. But his politics are crazy. All the woke stuff. Hamilton says, Africa must take back control. Shut up. Stick to driving, mate, really. Stick to driving. You're struggling with that even, aren't you, really? So, keep your head out of politics. Ice Barbie axed for former MMA fighter. Ice Barbie is, they're talking about that Christy Noem, who was the head of the Department of Homeland Security. Trump has replaced her. We'll talk about that a bit later when we get to the websites. Okay. Nadine Dorries, what, she had some sort of makeover before and after? Nadine Dorries, don't care. Starmer takes the great out of Britain. You said that the other day. Get a new line. Desperate and deluded. A little bit. We Britain can't put a warship to sea. Trump's frozen him out, Starmer. Our nation's a laughingstock. But PM insists he is in control. It is a bit desperate and deluded, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to absent yourself from the whole thing and not be a good ally as far as the United States are concerned, then okay. That's your prerogative to set that sort of policy if that's what you want to do, Sakir. Yeah, but don't make out you're still a big player, though. Don't try and do both those things. All right. Britney's drink driver refs after hour-long car chase. Unstable 40-something Britney Spears in trouble again. I don't pay close attention to Britney Spears, of course. She does seem to be a little unstable. Someone need to get her some help. Don't think she accepts help from anyone, does she? Okay, there's a quick bit of slop for you, because it's in the news. Britney Spears went out driving in California yesterday, and like some of her lights on her, like the tail lights on her car weren't working, and she was driving erratically, swerving all over the place a bit. The cops pulled her over, did a bunch of sobriety tests by the side of the road. They weren't 100% conclusive, but they did arrest her for DUI, whether alcohol or drugs, or both. And the world is holding its breath, waiting for the results of like her blood tests to see if she was in fact under the influence of drink and or drugs. So you go, a little bit of slop that's in the news today. Britney Spears was either drink driving, drug driving, or just a terrible driver. It's one of those two things, isn't it? The Daily Express, it's a good paper. Tory leader calls for offensive action against Iran after British bases targeted. Olukemi Badenoch wants us to go to war. Okay. We can't stand by and expect others to help Britain. We don't really need help, really, do we? I mean, it's not our war, is it, Kemi? It's not really our war. Who's pulling your strings? Why are you so gung-ho to fight Israel's war for it? What do you care? Why does she care? We can defend that base in Cyprus. Why do you want us to start? All right. There's the Princess of Wales there, looking radiant as usual. All right. The Daily Star. Oh, God. This is a front page. This is a real push. A real push, this one. PM, it's me, it's Donnie. Bring Brits home now. Oh, Dithering Heights for Keir. Do you get any of that, Harry? Does that make any sense to you?
Literally none of it.
Right. I'll have to explain it probably to a few people. Older people might get it. Might. Dithering Heights, so like Wuthering Heights. There's the film recently, Wuthering Heights, isn't there? And then there's that song from the 80s. Nothing to do with the Bronte novel, but the song. Well, it is to do with it, but the song. It's me, it's Kathy, I've come home. They're the lyrics, aren't they? Heathcliff, it's me, it's Kathy, I've come home, that song. PM, it's me, it's Donnie, bring Brits home now. Whoa, that's a stretch. To me, that's a massive stretch. Again, the senior editors in the Daily Star yesterday evening, when they're coming up with the front page. There's like maybe a bullpen, people throwing ideas around. Someone says this. Or someone says something close to it and someone else builds on it. And they come up with this. One of the editors puts that front page together. That. And at some point, the senior editor, whoever gives it the full green light, looks at that front page. PM, it's me, it's Donnie, bring Brits home now, Dithering Heights for Keir. And goes, yes. Yes, print. Sort of absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? All right, Britney, Oops, I did it again. Lewis, return Africa. Lewis, you need to worry about... You need to worry about your driving ability at this point in time, not global politics. You need to worry about not getting an STD off Kim Kardashian, is what he really needs to worry about. Okay, the eye paper. Panic in Dubai. Andrew Tate isn't panicking, though, because nothing's happening. Andrew Tate's all right. There's nothing happening. It's just an event. It's not a war. Panic in Dubai. Expats and tourists shelter in basements as war with Iran escalates. Let's just read the blurb, because I think the blurb on the front page of the iPaper most days is quite good for just sort of largely just the facts and hitting sort of all the main points. So I'll quickly read this, and then we can move on. Emergency alert in UAE sparks global travel turmoil. Just to remind anyone, the UAE, United Arab Emirates, there's seven emirates there, Dubai and Abu Dhabi, the main two. So the UAE sort of means Dubai, even though Dubai is only one bit of the UAE. Okay. Emergency alerts in UAE sparks global travel turmoil with wider airspace closures blocking routes for passenger planes. Azerbaijan, obviously to the north of Iran, right? Azerbaijan becomes latest country to be dragged into conflict and vows to retaliate after Iranian drones strike its airport. Oil spills in Gulf after tanker attacked off coast of Kuwait. Right at the top of the Gulf there. At the bottom of... Iraq. Gridlock in Beirut, where Israel fights Hezbollah and other residents flee and orders residents to flee. A quote, save your lives and evacuate your homes, quote. That's would be coming from the Israelis. We're going to start blowing up big bits of Beirut, particularly southern Beirut. If you live there, maybe leave. All right. I've done it before. Done it a number of times. Okay, ex-defence secretary says UK government, quote, caught with their pants down, quote, over readiness to defend British interests. And John Healey, that's the current defence secretary, that guy there. And I think he's in Cyprus at the moment. Seeks to reassure Cyprus over RAF base. Okay, so they've sent him out there. Johnny on the spot. Like he makes a difference. He's a cretin, by the way, if you didn't know. I mean, obviously, all the Labour government is a cretin. It's an idiot. It's like the worst things in the world is Russia and homegrown ethno-nationalism. All right. Good worldview. All right. Trump's plan to end the war. Let me choose Iran's leader. Trump wants to choose the next, or at least be involved in the decision-making process of choosing Iran's next leader. Talk about that in a bit, because it's... We'll talk about that in a moment, but... A bit of an odd thing. We'll talk about it in a minute. Starmer defends his refusal to join the bombing of Iran and urges negotiations and sends four UK fighter jets to Qatar. Oh, that'll make a big difference, won't it? That'll... It's such a token gesture, isn't it? It's like sending that HMS Dragon, Enter the Dragon. Like, that'll make a big... Like, that really... Is anything more than pure token gesture? Oh, okay. Maybe not, maybe not. But like four typhoons? I mean, it's not nothing. Right, but it's not going to change the course of the war in any way. It's not massively going to protect anything particularly. Trump says it would be, quote, wonderful, quote, if Kurdish fighters launched ground attack, but does not guarantee air cover. Huh. I thought that would sort of be the whole point, though, wouldn't it? I think that would be... That would make sense if you did, though, Trump. Wouldn't it? If the CIA have been arming and training and goading on the Peshmerga, or the Iraqi Kurdish forces. At least give them air cover. Can't you have, like, a few embedded CIA guys or special forces guys with them that can call in airstrikes? If you've got near full air superiority anyway, why would you not? I don't know. Okay, The Guardian. Stop it. God, The Guardian. The Guardian, it is revolting, isn't it? It is a sickening blight on our society. A sickening socialist rag. Pure subversive filth. Israel tells 500,000 people to flee Beirut ahead of strikes. Okay. IDF warns residents of southern suburbs to, quote, evacuate immediately, quote. I wonder how extensive, how brutal the Israelis will go on Beirut. They're gonna go downtown. They're gonna go downtown and go to town on it. I wonder how extensively, how bad the destruction might be there. We'll see, I guess. Hezbollah have been very, very difficult to wipe out entirely, haven't they? It's quite difficult to completely defeat them. Okay, looks like that's what Bibi intends. Starmer urges US to reach deal with Iran. Right. Migrant plans mimic Trump, says Labour MPs. Oh yeah, if you remember yesterday, we talked a little bit about, didn't we, how Shabana Mahmood, the Labour Home Secretary, was talking about reforming some of the details around the edges of our asylum system to make it appear ever so slightly more hardline, when in fact it isn't really addressing any of the core issues. Well, even that was too much for someone like Stella Creasy or some of the Muslim MPs they've got. Even that was too much. How dare you have something other than utterly open borders, completely uncapped migration, and endless handouts to these people. Anything other than that is beyond the pale to some Labour MPs. They're mad, aren't they? If you're in Britain and you live in a constituency where your MP is one of those people, and you don't want your country destroyed, of course, stop voting for them. If you've always been a Labour person, say, you've always been a Labour voter, consider not voting for them. If you live in Stella Creasy's constituency and you don't want to be demographically replaced in your own ancestral homeland, locking in a sectarian nightmare for this country, become a hated and marginalised minority in your own ancestral homeland, if you don't want that and you live in Stella Creasy's constituency, consider not voting for her next time. All right. The Mirror, utter slop. Oh, there's a U2. Ooh. Anyone who knows their planes? Very old now, isn't it? U2. Well, it's 60s vintage, isn't it? Still, quite a remarkable aircraft. Spy plane. Can fly super high. Well, much, much higher than any missile could get at it. Well, they got Gary Powers in one, didn't they? Anyway, that aside, there's a picture of a U2, obviously US military plane, flying into the Cyprus base. So we are letting them use it to some extent. Remember the story yesterday was that we're not Red Ed Miliband, Rachel Thieves, and Mrs. Ed Balls said we weren't going to. The day before that, on Wednesday, we said we are going to. It's a bit flip-floppy, isn't it? Flip-flops all round. All right, well, can't deny that image that a U2 has flown into or out of our Cyprus RAF base. State of alert! We joined Defence Secretary... the Mirror... joined Defence Secretary at RAF base as air raid sirens sound again. He won't rule out UK taking part in Iran attacks. Fears of escalation grow. Yeah, he was interviewed and they kept saying things along the... Pardon me. Questions along the lines of, will you get involved? Will we get involved? Is there any scenario where we might actually be bombing Iran? And he was doing the politician thing of sort of fairly clearly just not ruling it out. Not saying yes, but not saying no. Like, will you rule it out? Well, the thing is, you know, doing that whole thing. Will you overrule him? Did you threaten to overrule him? I didn't overrule him. But did you threaten to overrule him? I didn't overrule him. the politician, the nonsense game of that. They're trying to square a circle and just end up in a silly game of words. Anyway, he refuses to rule out that we might bomb Iran at some point. Okay. Mission creep, slowly getting drawn into it. It'll probably happen, won't it? I imagine. It's one way or another, things over the coming weeks. It'll be weeks long, this, won't it? Maybe months. I would have thought at some point, something or other will happen. Another attack on the RAF base or something or other. And we'll get drawn into it. I mean, who knows what's really going on? If anyone remembers, back at the end, towards the end of the Blair years, so it must have been in the first few years of the 2000s, the noughties, if you remember, back when that Ahmadinejad was president, back when Ahmadinejad was in power in Iran, just one day, it turns out that there was a bunch of Royal Marines, or they might have been Special Forces, they might have been Special Boat Service guys, were just doing clandestine operations, like just off the coast of, well, basically in the waters, just off the coast of southern Iraq. And they got captured. And Ahmadinejad sort of paraded them in front of the cameras. They were sort of taken to Tehran or something and paraded in front of cameras. And the Iranians were like, look, the Brits are doing special operations and in our waters and things. And in the end, they were negotiated. We got them back. There was a negotiation and they were released eventually. But that was in a time of sort of not giant tensions. There was no war going on, certainly, with Iran or anything at that point. So you can only imagine now. I would have thought that right now, there'll be all sorts of stuff going on, whether they're sort of, you know, CIA operatives, Mossad operatives, or actual Special Forces guys, Navy SEALs, frogmen. I would imagine there's SBS and frog, Navy SEALs, frogmen or whatever, in and around the waters. Also, I would imagine the reality is on the ground. There's all sorts of shenanigans going on all over the place. Now, because of that, who knows what might happen? Exactly something like that. And it just draws Britain in. And we sent 4 more jets to Qatar. Could wake up one morning, one's been shot down, and the pilot's killed. And then Britain just says, right, well, we're full-blown in the war now. We are going to start bombing Iran or whatever. Who knows how it will go? Mission creep. Once you get a little bit involved in these things, it's difficult to stay entirely clean and stay out of it. Because if something like that did happen, you know, some SBS guys got killed or a typhoon got shot down or something like that, and Starmer doesn't do anything, well then, well, whoever's the Prime Minister, he's unlikely to be Prime Minister after May, isn't he? I would have thought. Whoever's the Prime Minister at that point, there'll be a lot of pressure on them saying, you can't not do anything. That's an embarrassment. It's like you can't let someone just hit you and not do anything. Olukemi Badenoch is pretty hawkish on it all, isn't she? She would be banging that drum. What, you're going to let them shoot down a typhoon and not become entirely involved in Israel's war now? You're going to let that happen? You get it. You see how it goes. It's not too difficult, is it? All right. Trump, I must help choose Iran's next leader. There you go. So that's the story. This is Trump speaking. He says, the Ayatollah's son is a lightweight. A lightweight, claims President. Starmer deploys 4 more jets to Middle East. So this is the thing Trump said yesterday in a press conference. It's interesting, actually, because it's a bit of a change of policy. If you take it at face value, it doesn't entirely make sense. So he just said that he, Donald Trump, wants to be involved in who's picking the next leader of Iran. Now, just on the face of it, that's nonsensical, isn't it? Because the regime as it exists in Iran at this moment, the old regime, still in place, right? So as that exists right now, they're not going to let Donald Trump have any say in that. So, okay, at first blush, that doesn't make sense. But then you think, basically what he's talking about is, it must be a couple of other things. Either he's alluding to the fact that if he doesn't get the leader he wants, they'll just assassinate the next one, whether it's the Ayatollah son or whoever. They'll just get him at some point, and you'll have to replace him with the next person. So in that sense, he wants to be able to control who's the next leader. Or it means full regime change when the regime falls and there's the rebuilding of that state, that he, through the State Department or just through Jared Kushner or him personally, just pick whoever he wants. There's that. The thing that is interesting about it, I think, is that the whole question, and I don't want to be too Washington Post about it, I don't want to be too Guardian about it, but the question of whether the full objective is regime change or not. So in the first instance, that first 8-minute video he put out on Saturday morning saying, we're going for regime change. Then Marco Rubio on, I think, Monday, was it? I think Monday, might have been Tuesday. He said, when asked, he sort of backed away from that a fair bit. He said, no, the objective of all of this is to make sure Iran doesn't get a nuke and to make sure they can't hide behind their ballistic missile program and to make sure they don't have any industry that can build new ballistic missiles and to destroy their navy. That's the objective, not necessarily regime change. Then in the day or two after that, various people came out and said, no, it is still regime change. And we are going to insist on the regime itself falling one way or another. But then Trump saying that, pardon me, Trump saying that without explicitly saying, I'm talking about in a post-regime era, wasn't explicitly saying that. In fact, it sort of does suggest that he's talking about the regime still being in place, but some sort of much more moderate person, i.e. someone that will do what the United States wants and Israel wants, but the regime itself not entirely collapsed and replaced. Like when they got rid of Saddam in 2003 or 2004, remove the entire party, the Baathist party, Saddam's political infrastructure. Remove it entirely, 100%, every last tiny shred of it. Get rid of it. It seems like Trump's not talking about that now with regards to Iran. That he would settle for the regime staying in place, but whoever's at the top of it just completely compliant with him. Like that Rodriguez lady in Venezuela, who seems to have just completely fallen in line. Whatever Trump and Rubio say, she's just like, yes, sir, you got it. So Trump wants someone like that. A puppet, a poodle. So that's what it seems to suggest, doesn't it? I mean, Trump might come out today or over the weekend and say, he might do, mightn't he? He might just come out and say, to be perfectly clear, I am still insisting on full regime change. But, you know, I don't want to get all mainstream media about it. But it's not clear. It actually isn't that clear at this moment in time, as of recording this, on the morning of the 6th of March, 2026. It's not entirely clear. There are slightly different noises coming out of Washington about it. I mean, the Israelis are pretty clear, aren't they? Bibi's always been very clear. He wants to annihilate that regime entirely, have it removed. But Trump and Rubio have definitely made noises where it suggests they'll settle for something less than full regime change. Okay, all right, that's where we are. Let's move on. The Financial Times, US to tap Ukraine for Iranian interceptors. It's a funny, odd thing where Zelensky and the question of missile stockpiles is becoming an issue. Moves to build suppliers of Kiev's mass-produced drones. Like the Americans need Ukrainian drones to fight Iranian drones? Not really. Stockpile of expensive Patriot missiles declines Again, Trump said this yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Or it was reported yesterday, so he probably said it Wednesday. He said, no, we've got endless supplies. Don't worry about that. The media, they'll just spin all sorts of stuff. Just make up stuff and run with it for ages. Like it's illegal when it's not illegal. Technically, fully now. Now the Congress voted on it. It's not illegal. Or that you're running out of stockpiles and the Pentagon and Trump says, no, we're not. And they're like, yes, you are. It's like, we're not. I mean, the price of oil is going through the roof. No, it's not. It's just over $80 a barrel this morning. Last Friday, this time last week, before this started, it was about $78, $79 a barrel. It's barely moved. I mean, it's been a bit volatile, but it's about the same. But oil has spiked. No, it hasn't. Why are you saying these things? Look, Zelensky confirms UAE and Qatar defence-led talks. What's Zelensky got to do with it? Nothing. Tehran's Shahid weapons, versatile and easy to control. They're the bigger missiles, aren't they? The Shahid ones. One of the problems is, like those mobile truck launchers. You must have seen those. It's like a big lorry with a big missile on the back. Because there's one thing, there's like a known missile site, a known missile silo that's obviously stationary. Okay, so Israel and the US can blow that to pieces. But what if it's on a lorry and you keep the lorry underground until the last minute and you don't know where it is? That's actually where, I mean, like the classic Bravo 2-0 story of Saddam in 1990 to 1991 got Scud missiles. If anyone remembers this, everyone old enough to remember the Scud missile problem that they had in Gulf War One. Again, exactly the same thing. These sort of trucks, these lorries with a big missile on the back, sort of basically, as far as we're concerned, appear out of nowhere, basically, fire its missile, and that's it. It's been fired. So you would strain every nerve to get those. That's what the SAS Bravo 2-0 were doing in the deserts of Iraq, scud hunting. So yeah, the Shahids are versatile and easy to conceal. Yeah, it's a lorry basically. So you can keep that underground or just in a garage, in a hangar, anywhere where it can't be seen from satellites or from the sky, from aerial photography. So it's, yeah, all right. The Independent with Zelensky. Yeah. Mahmoud's going to give families 40 grand to go home. That's part of the raft of reform she wants to do to the asylum system. We already offer some people something in the order of 3 grand to go home, to self-deport certain types of people in certain circumstances. She wants to up it to 10 grand. And if you've got a family, if there's 4 of you or more, up to and including 4 people in your family, so a maximum of 40 grand. You may have broken in illegally. Claimed asylum, got some sort of subversive, traitor, enemy, human rights lawyer to keep you here against our will. Brought your family over, chain migration, and now the Home Secretary wants to pay you 40 grand to leave. How is that not an incentive? How does that not say to chancers and grifters around the world, come into Britain, even break into Britain, and you can get up to 40 grand. Then bring your family and you can get up to 40 grand. Or if it's just you, you can get 10 grand. You can just win 10 grand by breaking into Britain. What a crazy policy. I'll deport these people with not a penny. They're not a penny. The most I'll stretch to is paying for your ticket, paying for your air flight or your berth on a ship to send you back to your country of origin. But beyond that, not a penny. Why should we? Right, Zelensky, looking really serious. He's not a hand-picked WEF puppet. He hasn't embezzled money on a gigantic scale. He's really serious. He's a war leader. Zelensky to Trump. Save some missiles for us to fight Putin. Oh, shut up, mate. Just give it a rest. The Sun. So unfit. The Sun decides they're not going to talk about Iran. They're going to talk about how Ian Huntley is nearly dead. It's highly unlikely. Ian Huntley, double child rapist and murderer Ian Huntley from yesteryear, over 20 years ago, got smashed in the head, his head split open badly. He's highly unlikely to survive his beating in jail that he got. Trauma to brain after struck in eyes, Huntley's blinded. He's brain damaged and blinded and probably won't survive. Front page news amid the biggest war in a generation. All right, that's the papers. That's the papers. Should we have a look at the poll we did today? Oh, it's already 20 to 9. That went quick. What's the poll? What did we have? Okay, I said, who will the US go after next? And the options we gave you were Cuba, Colombia, and North Korea. And actually, yeah, you're right on the money. The Glorious Band, the Chosen Few, you're right on the money. You've put 70% Cuba, 23% Colombia, and 7% North Korea. And I would have said, if I had taken that poll, I would have clicked on Cuba, for sure. Because if anyone's been watching, my audience are very savvy. They're very savvy. Anyone who's watching the news will know that the State Department and the Donald have got their eye particularly on Cuba. I think even yesterday, some questions came up about Cuba. And he said something, Trump said something like, someone asked about Cuba and he said, let us finish this thing in Iraq first. He literally just said that. It was sort of almost laughing, almost jokingly saying, we'll get to Cuba, don't worry about that. We'll get to Cuba. I'll set Marco Rubio, the State Department, I'll set them on Cuba in a minute. Give me a minute. Let's finish this Iran thing first. And then we'll do Cuba. It's sort of what he said. Almost, you know, not even really trying to hide it or anything. So Cuba, you're right, 70% of you. Cuba, well over 1,100, knocking up to 1,200 people voting on that. I think Cuba's in their sights. Cuba's next on the list. And they also would like to, definitely like to do something in Colombia. Although I think in recent weeks, the Colombian president's fallen more in line. Just sort of realised he had a look at what happened in Venezuela and he's like, oh, maybe I should stop being such a thorn in the White House side, in the State Department side. A bit, anyway, a little bit. And North Korea, although it was, they are sort of a geopolitical strategic enemy of the United States, because the United States is locked in, committed to defending South Korea at any cost, almost. So North Korea are massively their enemy. They were on George Bush Jr.'s axis of evil, wasn't it? Iran, Iraq, and North Korea. That's what W said, remember? When they've done Iraq, they're doing Iran, North Korea. But they have got nukes, haven't they? North Korea have got nukes. They could easily nuke Seoul. Seoul's quite close to the border, very close to the border of North Korea. North Korea doesn't need an intercontinental ballistic missile. They could almost trebuchet it over to Seoul. It's not funny. Again, that's a nervous laugh. North Korea could nuke South Korea at any moment, or Japan, or wherever. They've got nukes. If they're able to make it small enough, they could put it in the back of a van and drive it into Pittsburgh, couldn't they? Or again, wherever. LA. So, although the Pentagon have got their eye on North Korea, always have, since the 1950s, since the Korean War, it's unlikely that that's sort of next on their list. Trump tries to make friends with Kim Jong-un, doesn't he? Tries to say he's got a special relationship with him and they understand each other. And I remember in Trump's first administration, Kim Jong-un tried to get a little bit belligerent, just in terms of rhetoric, that is. And Trump said, I can't remember the exact words, but it was something quite funny, like, I will annihilate that little man or something. Or my nukes are bigger than your nukes. Stuff like that, he said. If you try me, I will unleash a fire on your country like you couldn't believe or something. I'll destroy that little fat man or something. I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was something like that. Okay, Cuba. Yeah, just ticked up to 71% of you. With getting close to 1,200 votes. Yeah. I think, this is my prediction, on the strength of what Trump said yesterday, it seemed pretty unequivocal to me. It's not like a crazy take. I think they'll go after Cuba after Iran. If and when, like, in about a year's time, 6 months' time, a year's time, they'll do something in Cuba. Whether it's a Maduro-style kidnapping, full-blown Bay of Pigs invasion, send in the big red one, send in the Marines. I don't know. I think they'll do something against Cuba. If I was the leader of Cuba or in the inner cabal, the inner sanctum of power in Cuba, I'd be worried. I'd be thinking about making an escape and evasion plan myself. I really would. Again, the Donald, Rubio and Hexis don't really bluff, do they? They don't really need to bluff. Okay, let's have a look at the websites. Getting towards the top of the hour already. All right, let's have a look. Oh yeah, that school, BBC Verifier, claim to be the utter arbiters of truth, even though they're not, even though they're really not. They lie about even Carl Benjamin. They're claiming to be the undisputed arbiters of truth. They're saying that it looks like it may well have been the Americans that struck that, by accident still, struck that girls' school in the south of Iran on Saturday. That there is a naval base right near it, and they meant to hit that naval base, and something somehow went wrong, and it hit a school. Whether it's true or not, it's still not 100% clear, but that's what BBC Verify is saying at this point. All right. Okay, the COVID inquiry. We had a COVID inquiry. It was cost £200 million. It took like years, didn't it? 3 years. It took 3 years and cost £200 million. Again, it's Brewster's Millions. How are you spending that much money on it? You're really trying to spend silly amounts of money on it. And anyway, the whole thing was a utter ridiculous sham whitewash. Basically just talking about how Boris didn't lock us down quickly or hard enough. That was what it was all about, mostly. Okay. Oh yeah, Christy Noem's gone. So, but not in ignominy, not in complete disgrace or anything. He's just removed her and put someone else in charge of Homeland Security. She's been bumped aside. They made a new role for her. They made an entirely new job for her. So she's still in and around the White House. They just made up a new thing. They called it, like, I can't remember what it was, like Shield of America or something. And people are saying, oh, this is something Trump just made up. Yeah, that's what governments do. That's what a president can do. The FBI is just made up. What are you talking about? Yeah, they just make up new departments and new things. Yeah, they do that. Yeah, that's... Nonetheless, this thing that they've made Christy Noem, like the Shield of America or something, they're calling it. I don't know what it is. Oh, yeah. Shield of the Americas. A new US security initiative in the Western Hemisphere called the Shield of the Americas. And she's going to be in charge of that. So she's still in and around the cockpit of power, basically. She's not, like, in complete disgrace. But Trump wanted to remove her from Homeland Security because she was getting a bit... It's odd. It's a little bit odd because she didn't do anything massively scandalous, particularly. Although there are various things. But it was just that she was... People, commentators are saying she just got a bit too big for her boots. She was trying to sort of... She was trying to outshine the Donald. She was making it a bit too much about her. Photo opportunities and things with her. She's ambitious. I imagine when it comes to the next presidential election, I imagine she'll throw her hat into the ring, whether the Republican Party want her. Oh, no. Yeah, she's Republican, isn't she? Who's the Democrat? Who's the Democrat that Trump picked? Anyway, when it comes to the next presidential election, I'm sure she'll throw her hat into the ring, whether she can beat some of the other big beasts in the party to get the nomination is something else, but she's definitely ambitious. So anyway, the ice, what do they call her? The ice Barbie. It's a weird thing, isn't it? Ice Barbie has been bumped aside. Or bumped upstairs, depending on how you want to look at it. Or just fired in ignominy, if you want to think about it that way. Okay. Yeah, Trump said yesterday, again, to basically the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, surrender or die. We'll give you immunity if you surrender, if you put down your weapons, and if you don't, you're definitely going to die. I mean, there you go. There's another Iranian ship that got blown to bits. Crack. Bombs away. Splash. It's not funny. People would have died there, I would have thought. All right, there's Mr. Potato Head. And there's Starmer with his bird. Oh, yeah, Zach Polanski, real name David Paulden. If anyone saw in the news, there's a Churchill statue right on the corner of Parliament Square. And it quite often gets graffitied and defaced by traitors and communists. And that happened recently. A guy got charged. He spray painted something about Zionism on it. And David Paulden thought that was funny. He was amused by it, apparently. He thought that was funny. Yeah, he was amused. There you go, that's the Green Party for you. Again, anyone out there just thinks it's about environmentalism? No. No, it's run by psycho people. Psycho communists and Islamists. I mean, he's Jewish, isn't he? And yet still stands for Islamism super hard. Whatever undermines us, right? Whatever undermines our society and subverts our way of living. Whatever does that quickly as possible. That's what David Paulden is all about. Look at the state of it, the physiognomy. Oh, sickening. Ian Huntley's not quite dead, but probably will die. Certainly blinded and brain damaged. Okay. All right, well, we're actually getting towards 9 o'clock, so should we just have a look at this day in history? Quick this day in history before we wrap up for the week. It was actually a bit thin on the ground, the web page this today, on the 6th of March. There's not a great deal here. But there's a few bits and bobs that are mildly interesting. So let's talk about it. On this day, the 6th of March, in 1479, the Treaty of Alcavocas, probably pronouncing that incorrectly, where Portugal cedes the Canary Islands to Castile, Spain, in exchange for claims in West Africa. So anyone who doesn't know, the modern political entity of Spain didn't exactly exist in the late 15th century. But the crown of Castile goes on to basically be Spain. Anyway. Portugal and Spain. Anyone who's watched my Epoch series all about the life and career of Magellan. It was like a really long, I can't remember how many on Epochs behind the paywall, loadseeds.com. How many parts was Magellan? Can you even remember, Harry? Was it like 15, 13?
So I'm pretty sure it was 13.
It's 13 parts. Series that we've done. It's a good one. I go into the voyage of Magellan, the first man to circumnavigate the globe, headed west, went all the way around the world, sailed across the Pacific to the Far East, the Indies, the Spice Islands, and then came all the way back. First man ever to do that. In the very early 16th century. The story, a lot of that story is about the tensions between Portugal and Spain, or Portugal and Castile in that era. Fascinating, I think. If you want a few hours, well, it's got to be well over 10 hours, well, probably more like 13 odd hours. It'd be more. Maybe 15 odd hours of me. 15 hours. That's like an audio book. Of me telling you the story of the voyage of Magellan and all the adventures, the crazy adventures they had. Okay, check it out. Behind the paywall, £5 a month, bronze tier membership, lotusleaders.com. Do it. Okay, on this day in 1836, there's the Battle of the Alamo. Remember the Alamo. After 13 days of fighting, between 1,500 and 3,000 Mexican soldiers overwhelm the Texan defenders, killing them all. It was 182. Between 182 and 257 Texans, including William Travis, Jim Bowie, not Bowie, Jim Bowie and Davy Crockett. Yeah, I really should have done a long-form bit of content on that. Oh, boom, I already have. Again, how long is that? Is that like an hour? How long is it? Anyway, it's like an hour and a half or more. Just talking about, well, I'm talking about the Texan Revolution in general, but largely focusing almost entirely on the story of the Alamo. Just a great, great story. Like a last stand, like a Thermopylae-style last stand. Like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. You know it's all... you know you're going to die. You know there's no way out. But you go down fighting anyway. Classic. Brilliant. Okay, on this day in 1857, the Dred Scott decision. People that hate America and Black Lives Matter people, anyone with a chip on their shoulder, racially speaking, always bring up Dred Scott. So in the middle of the 19th century, the Supreme Court decided that African Americans cannot be US citizens. This is just before the American Civil War. Later, of course, the Supreme Court reversed itself on Dred Scott. So if I remember, it was a slave who had escaped from southern states, the slave estates, made his way to the north and had been living as a free man in the north. And then, if I remember this right, I hope I'm not getting the details terribly wrong, this is all just from memory. His owner in the south said, I still own him. I don't care that he's now living in Massachusetts or wherever, he's living in New York State or wherever, in the north. I still own him, he's still my property. And the slave himself was saying, no, I'm a free man, thank you very much. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And at the Supreme Court, embarrassingly, they decided, no, you are still the property of your owner in the South. Okay, that's what that is. It's like well over 150 years ago, though. People still bang on about it, weren't they? You still find someone like Jesse Jackson or whatever. Black people in America still bring it up. Remember Dred Scott, the Dred Scott decision, though? It's like, yeah, you did have a civil war over that to reverse it, and the Supreme Court did reverse it, and so, like, yeah, there were injustices in the past, yeah. Okay. Like the entire concept that people of the present are guilty of the crimes of their ancestors. No, you can't have... It's even in the Bible, isn't it? Sons aren't guilty of the sins of their fathers. You can't have... That's not right. That doesn't make sense. It's not fair. It's not... All right. That's the reasoning, isn't it? That's their rationale. Why, even to this day... We, white people, should owe them reparations. That's even Green Party policy, isn't it? We owe people from Africa, West Africa or the Caribbean, we today owe them reparations for injustices in the past. Crazy. Okay, on this day in 1869, Dmitry Mendeleev presents the first periodic table of the elements to the Russian Chemical Society. Yeah, very important person there in the history of science. To really start working out the periodic table properly, systematizing it in various ways. Okay, and the last one today is about aspirin, 1899, the first aspirin made by a German. All right, there we go. Shall we have a look at the Rumble Rants and the Super Chats? Shall we have a look? All right, so let's see. Oh, are these the Rumble Rants? There's tons of Rumble Rants. Okay, good. Thank you. I guess I have to whip through them. There's loads. And then there are loads of Super Chats as well on YouTube. Harry's just bringing those up. Oh, there's only a few. Okay, that's interesting. It's the first time on the Bo Show we've had this. Many more Rumble Rants than there are YouTube Super Chats. All right, let's do the Rumble Rants then. Luke Stewart 91, St. Luke, says... Oh, wait. My screen's just glitched out a bit. Okay, do I start from the top or the bottom? All right. Luke Stewart says, Oh no, I've got to start from the bottom. Sorry, one sec. Busted Brian says, "Morning, Bo. Do you have any opinion on the co-founder of Advanced affecting to Restore? I believe the fellow's name is Shaw or something. Founded Integrity, then converted that to Advanced." Okay, I don't know anything about that particularly. I don't know who the Shaw person is, but sounds good. Advanced is a busted flush. They had their chance, they blew it. Poor Nick Buckley could only get 150 votes. Nobody in the country particularly wants Ben Habib to be their leader or anything. And they've gone full-blown anti-racist now, apparently. So, like, full-blown globalist. They may as well be Labour. So, yeah, everyone in Advance, move over to Restore, because that's where all the momentum is going to be. And they're a legitimate option. Advance is now a joke. Okay. Luke Stewart says, "G'day, Bo. Did you get a chance to watch the China Uncensored episode about the missiles?" I'm afraid not, sorry. I should do that over the weekend, though. If not, it basically came down to if Iran could punch for $1, but us or US had to spend $50 to block. Right, okay, I see, right, yeah. Yeah, the missiles that the United States manufacture and use are vastly more expensive. But then they are also much more sophisticated, so... And America's got the money. Yeah, but that's right, though. $1 to $50. But still, it's not going to be enough, is it? Iran are going to lose on the battlefield. The politics is something else. The hearts and minds is something else. The peace is something else. But on the battlefield, they're no match. It's no match. Okay. TomRat247 says... we need, and then it's a very, very long word with a swear word in it that I can't say. We need a something referendum. Oh, we need an S or get off the pot referendum for the kingdoms. You get an MP and an SMP or Scottish Member of Parliament or whatever, whilst England gets only an MP. Devolution... or close Holyrood, the Sneed, and Stormont, and integrate into Westminster. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm completely hated the whole devolution thing. That's a pure Blairite, commie adjacent nonsense to destroy the kingdom, to undermine England, to undermine Westminster. If I was Prime Minister, if I was Lord Protector, I would entirely unravel all of the devolution, all of it. No, I'd make Westminster as powerful as possible, as powerful as it used to be in 1996 and before. We're not going back that far. No, the whole devolution thing is a nonsense. And the Guardian and the Metro and whoever and the Mail can screech about it all they want. No, the whole devolution thing was an insanity. All it does is undermine Westminster. It's not in our interest. It was never in our interest. And all the Plaid Cymru and all the SNP can screech and wail all they want. Devolution. What? What? Get rid of all the mayors as well. Don't need those mayors. What is that? That's some sort of American thing. Mayors. The entire London Assembly, gone. Scrap it. Now, there's various constituencies in London, loads in London. And those MPs can sit in Westminster. You have a Westminster Council. You don't need this extra mayoral thing. This mayoral authority sitting on top of it. Get rid of it. Okay. Calm down a bit, Bo. Yeah, I know. I know, right? Luke Stewart again says... And on some New Zealand news, if you don't get to it... The lesbian DEI captain is apparently getting court-martialed for sinking 10% of the New Zealand Navy. Apparently, they only had 9 ships. I've not heard anything about that. I don't know anything about that. That's interesting. I have to Google that when I finish this. A lesbian DEI captain sunk 10% of the New Zealand Navy. What? I don't know anything about that, so I can't really comment on it, but that sounds crazy and interesting. I'll have to look it up. Oh, all the rest are Luke Stewart. There's a fair few in a row from Luke Stewart, so I'll quickly read them all out. He says, I like to use a logic, if you can stabilise the Middle East, we can kick all the Muslims out of our country, and then we can go back to having a safe place, and then they can go back to where they came from. Yep, absolutely. Clear them out. This isn't a Muslim country. Makes sense if he wants a leader. I don't know exactly what you're referencing here, but makes sense if he wants a... Oh, Trump replacing the leader of Iran. If he wants a leader he can work with, so you don't end up with another 40 years of this S. Yes, absolutely. Yep, they need someone they can work with, don't they, from their perspective. I think probably wrong, but I think Trump would probably be happy with anything from full regime change to just a reform like what happened in Venezuela. Yeah, probably, but don't say regime change a bunch of times unless you're going to go for it, because if you have to retreat from that position, it just looks super weak, doesn't it? But you're right, though. He probably would be happy with just a Venezuela-type situation in Iran. Trump would probably take that. Nettie would be annoyed with him, wouldn't he? But Trump would probably take it. Look, we've got a leader in charge now, and we can do deals. We can do whatever we want, basically. Like that Venezuela lady. I've been hearing people talk about one of the reasons why 2003 became such a cluster was when they went after everyone who lost power, from politicians to grunts, rebelled, thus creating the Forever War. Now, it does seem in hindsight, doesn't it, that one of the big, big failures they did, that Donald Rumsfeld and George W. Bush did, and Paul Bremer in Iraq, was remove entirely, really entirely, all the, at least political structures that Saddam had in place. Their idea was just, we'll just clean Iraq entirely of the Ba'athist party. Well, it just created a power vacuum, didn't it? That's what that led to. Hopefully they won't make the same mistake again. But it's much more than that, though. It's much deeper, and it wasn't just that. It wasn't like if they didn't do that, Iraq would have been a brilliant civil society straight away. Almost certainly not. So there's much more to it. Okay. Matt G. Hammond says, why would Trump tell anyone that the US cannot replenish munitions? There were reports that an emergency meeting with defence contractors occurred in DC. Okay. Yeah, and fair point. Why would Trump tell anyone the US cannot replenish munitions? Right, like, are you saying Trump would say that? The question if... I'm not sure 100% your angle, but... Like Trump, even if he was running low, he would say he isn't. You mean? Is that what you mean? Okay. I mean, fair enough. Matt G. Hammond also said, you forgot Mexico in the poll. Yeah. Yeah. If I was a really belligerent war president right now, going around the world, doing stuff, acting like a war president, you know, I'd seriously look at Mexico, not necessarily changing their regime or pulling a Maduro on them, but just sending in all sorts of stuff to crush the cartels. I hate those cartels. Terrible. All right, Luke Stewart says, I find it funny, Trump is slowly getting rid of all those old and outdated ideologies. The communists, socialists in South America, radical Islamists in the Middle East. It feels weird. I guess you meant weird. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, great. Someone the other day, I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was you, Luke. I can't remember. Somebody said, imagine Trump at Mar-a-Lago's got like a type of zoo, all cages with all the different world leaders in them. There's like, there's the Maduro compound over there. Can go and look at him. Yeah, Trump's not playing about, is he? I mean, he's getting old. He's in his second and last term. Quite often presidents in their second term act much more freely, because they know they never have to face re-election again. They never have to go to the people ever again. So they're sort of off the chain a bit more. Well, yeah. That's Trump. Busted Brian says, Trump got rid of her, I guess you're talking about Noam, because she spent $200 million on an ad campaign. Yeah, that was definitely part of it. Starring her, in addition to rumours of an affair between her and someone called Corey something. Lewandowski, never heard of whoever that is. Was that one of her aides, wasn't it? Okay. The former Dem you are thinking of is Tulsi Gabbard. That's right. Yeah. I've got Tulsi Gabbard and Noam, Kristi Noem mixed up a couple of times. You're quite right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tulsi Gabbard. Thanks for pointing that out. Yeah, that was part of it, wasn't it? That she'd spent 200 mil on an ad campaign that was sort of just an ad campaign for her. That's a little unfair, but not really. Yeah, that annoyed the Donald and various other people around the Donald. Like, she's getting a bit too big for her boot. She's making it, it's like, is the Department of Homeland Security a vanity project for her? Okay. Luke Stewart says, if the Jewish leader of the Greens wants to... can I read... Wait, let me just read this out before I... Let me just read it in my head before I read it out. Yeah, I can't read it out, I'm afraid. I don't want the channel to get actually yeeted. Okay. Luke Stewart says, and the other Democrat who's working for Trump and RFK is RFK Jr. Oh, yeah, RFK Jr. was nominally a Democrat, wasn't he? Of course. But, I mean, they actually turned their back on him as well. They stabbed him in the back a bit, didn't they? So RFK's a little bit in between. But, yeah, good point nonetheless. Okay. Cassadwen says, hello, Bohemond of Taranto. a great crusader, Bohemond. If I could be mentioned in the same breath as Bohemond, I'll take it. Great crusade, one of the all-time greats. How much have you studied the conquest of the Inca? Yeah, I'm going to do a thing on Pizarro. I've been threatening it for a while. Yeah, I'm going. I know loads about it. I love it. It's an incredible story. I've been onto it lately, and the alien encounter vibe of that situation is insane. Highly recommend. Very, very insightful. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I'm going to do a thing on Pizarro. On epochs. At some point, hopefully this year. Okay. Dragon Lady Chris says, no, Dred Scott's owner took him into a free state. Scott sued for his freedom based on that. Oh, okay, fair enough. If I got some of the details about the Dred Scott thing wrong there, apologies. It was all just purely from memory. I haven't read about it in a long, long time. So, okay, apologies to anyone out there if I got any of those details wrong. Okay, Dragon Lady Chris correcting me there. Thank you very much. Luke Stewart says, that's why when a black person brings up S that supposedly my ancestors did hundreds of years ago, I bring up the fact that their ancestors raped my Neanderthal ancestors. Okay. Yeah. All right, that's the last rumble round. Let's do the quick whip through the 9:15, whip through the YouTube super chats. Global Church History says, today, 12 BC, Augustus is made Pontifex Maximus. Ah, brilliant. Brilliant. Pontifex Maximus, okay, the religious. Not exactly like a pope, but the head of the Roman state in religious spiritual terms, Pontifex Maximus. Because wasn't it Lepidus, and you're supposed to have it for life, I believe. I think it was Lepidus who somehow survived everything, and he finally died, and so the office was open, and Augustus took it. 12 BC, he'd already been the head of the Roman state for 15 odd years already, roughly, by that point, hadn't he? Well, Battle of Actium's 31 BC, is it? And he becomes absolutely unassailable, undisputed head of the Roman state by like 27 BC or something. So by 12 BC, yeah, his Pontifex Maximus opens up and he's like, I'll just take that as well. Why not? No one's going to stop me. I love the story of Augustus. Got all sorts of long form content about the life and career of Augustus on Epochs Behind the Paywall. £5 a month, bronze tier membership, lotusteacher.com. Sign up. It's good stuff. One of my favourite figures of all time, Augustus. Octavian. An incredible life. Okay. Nookie Bear 84 says, morning, Bo. First time watching live. Love the show. North FC lad working in Dundee at the Mo. Right now in the Discovery ship. Pretty cool. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for the super chat. You are the glorious band, the chosen few now. One of us. One of us. One of us. Thank you. Thanks for watching, and thanks for the super chat there. Mr. Pastry 2010 says, would you accept the Ministry of Disdain? Yeah, I would, yeah. Yeah, I'd be the Secretary of State for Disdain. I think I'd be good. I think I was born to do that. Okay. I'd accept a peerage. Lord Disdain, First Baron Disdain. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Okay. Ballast 12 says, hi, Bo. Have you heard of Anton Petrov? Have I heard of Anton Petrov? Yeah, he's one of my all-time favourite science and space dudes. I love Anton Petrov. I've mentioned him a number of times, I believe. If not, take a look at his channel. I think you will like it. A lot of space news and stuff. Yeah, Anton's great. Hello, wonderful person. That's what he says, doesn't he? That's his sort of tagline. He calls you all a wonderful, wonderful person. He's great. He's great. I love him. No homo. Love him. Ghost Paco 2962 says, morning, Bo. If you'd please look at the backdrop towards the bottom shelves next to the white monster cans. What is that in the picture frame? Harry, can you help me out? What was it? Bottom shelves next to the white monster cans. Oh, okay. Harry, do you want to explain that? Let Harry explain that, because I didn't make this. Harry made this. Go on.
So I was kind of hoping that nobody would actually notice that, but that's me. That's just a picture. I mean, it's edited, obviously, but that's me.
So Harry made all of this, and that's a picture of Harry himself, but obviously he's shopped it, oddly, weirdly. I don't know why. Don't know why he's done that, but with like one giant cyclops eye and like a weird. That's Harry. This is Harry's favourite drink. What is that, like peach flavoured monster?
Yeah, it's Monster Monarch. That's all I drink.
That's all he drinks. So there are a couple of things that Harry did for himself to amuse himself. And the other things are just all sorts of stuff, aren't they? All sorts of other things. So, but you were just amusing yourself, really, weren't you, with those couple of bits there? That was just.
Yeah, I mean, originally the picture was like a placeholder, but.
There you go, that's what that is. That's what that is. Ghost Paco, there you go. That's the answer to that. Okay, last three here. Quite Blackpilled says, did Carl ever see his cameo in A Million Amelias video? The boss shows up before Shakespeare, Newton and Gandalf. Million views, check it out. I did see that, I'm pretty sure he saw it. I think he must have seen it. I'm pretty sure he did. I don't really want to speak for him. Maybe he didn't. I saw it, though. Yeah, it was funny. It was interesting. It was like Carl Benjamin is sort of a cultural icon up there with Shakespeare and Newton. In the mind of whoever made that video, of course. Okay. HSOJ2 or HSOJ2 says, morning, Bo. I've heard you say that you've seen thousands of UFC fights a while ago. Do you train? And have you got Oliveira or Holloway this weekend? Oh, okay. Oliveira, I would say, isn't Max Holloway's a bit? Isn't he a bit past it, Max Holloway? That's not fair. He's still one of the most dangerous men in the world, but. I'll go Oliveira. Yeah, I've watched loads of UFC fights. I had like UFC 1, 2 and 4 on VHS when they were brand new. I wouldn't say I've watched every single UFC event, but I must have watched 90% of them. Do I train? No, I don't train now. When I was younger, well, when I was a kid, I did Tang Soo Do, which is like a South Korean karate sort of a thing. Did a tiny bit of judo, again, when I was a kid, when I was a teenager. And then a few years ago, I'm talking 10, maybe 15 years ago, 10 years ago, I did a bit of MMA training, but not much, hardly any, really. Certainly never had a fight or anything, but went to an MMA training gym and for a few months, just a few months. What I really wanted to learn was the rudiments of jiu-jitsu, like the rudiments, really, which I did. And also wanted to learn how to professionally slip a punch. But it turns out you sort of need to be young to do that. Yeah, a guy is in his mid-30s learning from scratch how to bob and weave. It's like, it's too late. It's too late in life, I found. So I've done a little bit of training over the years here or there. I did years of Tang Soo Do as a kid, like from the age of like 9 or 10 to the age of like 14 or 15 or 16, I can't even remember now. But so I've done bits and bobs over the years, but I certainly don't train anymore. Too old, really. I'll be 45 this year. Fighting's a young man's game. It's a young man's game. All right. What have we got? Last couple here. Or the last one, is it? Yeah, the very last one. Luke Stewart again says, thank you for remembering my super chat about Trump building a zoo for dictators. Oh, it was you, yeah. Hope you have a lovely weekend. Thank you for the evening show, because you're in Australia, so it's the evening for you. No, I hope you have a lovely weekend too. I hope you all do. That's the show. That's the end of the show. I hope you all do. Hope you enjoy your weekend. Try and get stuff done. It's just ticked 20 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Friday the 6th of March in the year of our Lord 2026. Try and make the best of the day and weekend ahead if you can. Carpe diem. Seize it. Seize it by the lapels. Try and do something of value with your time if you can. Make it count. All right then. Well, until Monday morning, take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.